Want to know something crazy? Alcatraz, the most famous prison ever, only operated for 29 years before closing in 1963.
It's been famous for almost twice as long as it was open, and that might be because of the prisoners it housed.
Designed to be inescapable, it was reserved for those who committed the most heinous crimes, or those who had proven they'd break out of pretty much anywhere else. In its heyday, Alcatraz was the highest-tech maximum security prison around.
Almost every criminal sent there was notorious. As for the most notorious, that's what we'll decide today as we count down the 10 most infamous Alcatraz inmates.
You want to know the least infamous Alcatraz residents? It's the birds. The name Alcatraz actually comes from the Spanish word for pelican, and since the prison closed, they've flocked the place.
Thousands of birds, historic prison. Yeah, this island's not creepy at all. Hey, all you weirdos. Welcome to the Parcast Original, Crime Countdown. I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena. Every week, we'll highlight 10 fascinating stories of history's most engaging and unsettling crimes, all picked by the Parcast Research Gods.
This episode, we are counting down the top 10 infamous Alcatraz inmates.
I want to visit Alcatraz so bad. I feel like the history there would like overwhelm you.
I know, I do too. And you know, you can go on haunted tours and actually be like locked in one of the cells.
I want to do it. Are you in?
Yes, let's do it.
I need to know.
I would go now, except like back in the day, I probably wouldn't have survived.
No.
I really don't think you would.
I think that would be the only reason, too, is just the birds.
That's all it is.
Otherwise, you'd be fine.
So it's all good.
I may have been okay. I mean, considering Whitey Bulger was there at one point, and like if we became chums, I think it would be fine.
If you became chums.
Yeah, you know.
If I was there with you, I definitely would not allow that because I like you and your teeth.
Well, there were a ton of infamous inmates there. It became kind of like the place to spot your favorite mob boss. You'd be like, oh, there he is.
There's that guy.
There he is. Check.
And we are going to count all of them down right here, right now. Elena has 5 Alcatraz residents, and I do too, but neither of us knows which ones the other has.
Let's start the countdown.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Starting off our list of infamous Alcatraz inmates at number 10, Roy Gardner, once known as King of the Escape Artists. What a nickname.
Right?
Gardner's story is a fall from a disgrace.
Ba-dum-tsh.
He was once an admired criminal in America in the early 1920s and escaped capture many times, but it was Alcatraz that finally broke him.
I think that's Alcatraz's rep.
I think it is. That's the motto. We're gonna break ya. After a short stint in prison for stealing jewels.
Oh.
Which, like, I didn't even know that was, like, it sounds so fake.
It does,
like,
sound
I'm
very
I'm a jewel
fake.
Thief.
I picture him in, like, the striped, like, shirt yeah, with right? the ski like, mask and everything.
Yeah, like, yeah, the mask and everything.
And a big bag of jewels.
Like the Hamburglar.
Rubies are just falling out the sides.
I think that's exactly what he looked like. Well, he ended up getting his life in order after he went to prison for stealing jewels. He got married. He had a kid.
The American dream.
Which, it's so funny to me that it's like, he got his life in order. He had a kid. And it's like, I'm sorry, that's order?
Yeah, you're like, that's actually a lot of disarray.
He got his life in disorder by having a child. But on a trip to Tijuana, he lost his money gambling. Wah, wah. That's when he got super desperate, and he did what any of us would do when we're desperate.
What?
He stole a mail truck in San Diego, and that mail truck ended up having $80,000 on board.
Oh!
Yeah. Like, when I get desperate, I eat, like, a jar of peanut butter in one sitting. But this dude just steals whole-ass trucks.
You know, like, different strokes for different folks.
I guess so. We're not all alike, and that's what makes us beautiful. So, but this whole thing begins a stint of multiple escapes and even more robberies that earn him a lot of attention. And boy, did he love attention.
Uh-oh.
This was all until his final capture on November 15th, 1921. He ended up spending 13 years in prison before he was voluntarily transferred to Alcatraz.
He was like, I volunteer as tribute or something?
Yeah, he was like, let's do this. Throw me on the rock.
Why would you want to go there?
Well, he did this in 1934 so he could be near his wife and daughter.
Oh, that's actually really wholesome.
Kind of wholesome. A little bit.
A little bit.
Just saying. He was released in 1938 after a very difficult time at the rock, and he wrote his autobiography titled Alcatraz.
Stop.
But the public, unfortunately, had already forgotten about him.
Oh, no.
But you know what we won't forget about?
What?
That pun, though.
That was like a dad joke. He got his life together,
really
got a wife and a kid, and got real good at dad jokes.
He did. He was like, Alcatraz.
Am I right?
Am I right? In 1940, he broke and in really bad health. Roy Gardner dropped a pellet of cyanide in a cup of acid, inhaled the fumes, and died.
Nine. At number nine is Bernard Coy, the mastermind behind the deadly Battle of Alcatraz, an escape attempt made in early May 1946 that left five people dead.
Not a good escape attempt.
No, did not work.
Mm-mm.
So this was his whole thing. He had been watching the guards and looking for a weakness to exploit. He's like, I'm going to attack once I find this.
That's smart.
And ooh, he found it. He realized the gun gallery was caged with bars, but he also realized he could pry them apart and push himself through to get to the weapons.
Sneaky, sneaky.
He even pulled a Bundy and lost 20 pounds to get through those bars.
Oh, damn.
He was committed.
I bet he did that just by, like, cutting out soda for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's what, like, guys do, you're
They always get to just, like, cut out soda, and they're like, and I lost 45 pounds.
I added 3 sit-ups to my morning routine, and wow.
Look at this.
Dropped, like, 7 pant sizes.
You're lucky.
Coy and a convict, Marvin Hubbard, beat one of the guards unconscious, let out other convicts, and then strangled another guard into unconsciousness.
Wowzers.
So they were just having a time.
If I was one of the other guards, I'd be like, this way, good sirs. Go right ahead.
Let me show you the way out of here.
Don't mind me.
Take like a little thing on your way out. Have a great time. They locked guards in cells, but when they went to get them out to use them as hostages, they made a big old mistake.
Uh-oh.
One of the guards had hidden the cell block key.
Hmm.
So he was like, nice try. They were all panicked, and one of the convicts decided he had to kill the hostages, duh.
Obviously.
So they wouldn't be able to testify against them. But at this point, the police, military, and prison guards were moving in on them, and by the end of the battle, 3 escapees and 2 guards were left dead.
Eight.
Number 8 on our countdown of top 10 Alcatraz inmates is Clarence Carnes, better known as the Choctaw Kid, and who also participated in the Battle of Alcatraz, which he survived.
Ooh.
In 1943, he was sentenced to life in prison for murdering a gas station attendant during a holdup.
How did that go
Not
down?
Cool.
Like,
Not
whoa.
Cool. He was only 18 years old. And he became the youngest person ever to serve time at Alcatraz.
Yeah, that's like very young.
You're a baby.
That'll do a number on you at 18.
It will. I think he already had a number done on him to get there, but That won't help.
I think he was also like doing a number.
He certainly was. There was just numbers. A lot of math.
It was actually just algebra.
It was. He was paroled in 1973, but it was revoked twice just for minor infractions, mostly having to do with like drinking and, you know, just being drunk.
He had a drinking
problem. Well, no, he had two minor infractions. He was revoked from parole.
Oh, gotcha.
But honestly, in prison wouldn't surprise me.
I know, I wouldn't be that shocked either.
After the Battle of Alcatraz escaped attempt failed, he was spared the death penalty because he refused to kill the guards.
Well, that was nice of him. He was done doing numbers.
A glimmer of humanity in there.
He was like, you know what? I'm here. I'd like to leave, but I don't think this is going to help me.
I've killed one person. Don't want to just add to that number.
No, thanks. I'm changed.
When he took the stand, he said that he had participated in the riot, but he only did it because he did not think anyone would get hurt.
Okay. I would like to know that rationale.
Like, that's cute, Clarence.
Like, I didn't think anybody was going to get hurt in that riot.
I just thought it was one of those tickling riots. Like, what?
I know. They're super fun.
It got so crazy.
What
it
happened?
Got aggressive. In prison, Carnes became friends with Whitey Bulger, who had Carnes' body exhumed and moved so he could get a real Choctaw burial ceremony.
Wow.
Whitey, a real stand-up guy.
It's a friend you want to have.
He sure is.
Seven.
At number seven this week is bank robber Alvin Creepy Karpis, who was sent to Alcatraz in 1936 on a life sentence and stayed there until The Rock began closing down operations in the early 60s.
Can my nickname be Creepy?
Yes.
Can I be Elena Creepy?
It should have been a long time ago, to be honest with you.
It's awesome.
He helped kidnap a brewing company president with his gang and held that guy for $100,000 ransom.
Wow.
The mistake? He left his fingerprints on the ransom notes.
Oh, we've all done that.
After a second kidnapping, targeting another wealthy guy, a banker, for $200,000 in ransom money, the gang split up after they got paid. They were like, this was real. It was fun. It wasn't real fun.
It's not you. It's me.
We're breaking up.
I'll always love you.
You know, but because of those pesky fingerprints, he got caught. Creepy got caught.
Ah, creepy.
And he was caught May 1st, 1936 in New Orleans.
In Nolens.
Fun fact, even FBI Director Herbert Hoover participated in his arrest.
Fancy.
That's a really fun name to say.
It is. Hoover.
Hoover. Creepy was sent on over to Alcatraz until 1962 when it closed down. He was later paroled. He moved to Spain, but then he was found dead on August 26th, 1979. And at first, they thought that he had committed suicide, but it was later determined to be from natural causes.
Hmm. That's a weird mistake to make.
It is a very weird mistake.
Six.
Also on our list at number six, Mickey Cohen. The Los Angeles-based mobster spent a short time in Alcatraz in 1963, shortly before it closed down that same year. He was first sentenced July 1st, 1961 to serve 15 years for an attempt to evade and defeat income tax. You can't get away from the IRS.
They'll find you.
And he was sent directly to Alcatraz later that month.
That's kind of a big leap.
Yeah, they're just like, the Rock for you.
Like, that's intense.
He was the only man to be bailed out of Alcatraz pending appeals, but was sent back in May 1962 when those appeals ultimately failed.
Well, that's a bummer.
Despite being an infamous gangster known for repeated acts of violence, he was a good guy in prison. He was very well behaved.
Inside, he was doing better than he was outside.
Isn't that always the case? His prison record stated that he was a very good worker, wanting to do his fair share and not look like he was coasting because of his name.
I think he probably also just wanted to get out on good behavior.
I think he's like, look, I know I'm fancy. I know y'all know who I am.
It's me, Mickey.
It's me, Mickey, but don't look at me like Mickey.
Gosh,
look at me like any other schmo in here.
Mr. Cohen.
Mr. Cohen. He was reportedly very cooperative and polite towards officers and kept one of the neatest cells.
That's important. Don't let your cell get stinky.
Don't do it. It's anybody rude. Listening right now, don't let your prison cell on Alcatraz get stinky.
Just, you know,
don't do it. He was eventually transferred out of Alcatraz in January 1963, just a couple of months before it closed.
Huh. What do you think so far?
I love that multiple entries were involved in that Battle of Alcatraz.
I do too. It was a pretty big thing.
Yeah, it's like this little tight-knit community.
Yeah, they formed a Facebook group later.
Yeah, it's cool. And then Clarence being 18 years old in Alcatraz?
Yeah, that's intense. My mind. He probably had a bad time.
I didn't know that there was someone that young there.
Also, who's your favorite so far?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm still waiting for one.
But it's Creepy. Creepy's your favorite.
Oh, Creepy. Creepy always will be my favorite.
Kate here. If you're looking to add some more fun to your feed, subscribe to Parcast Network's new show, Incredible Feats. Every weekday, comedian Dan Cummins, who you might recognize from the hit podcast Time Suck, explores an unbelievable account of physical strength, mental focus, or bizarre behavior. Don't miss the story of a man who broke the sound barrier while skydiving from the edge of space, or the harrowing tale of a 17-year-old girl who survived alone in a rainforest for 11 days after her plane broke apart midair, or the ultra-marathoner whose rare genetic condition lets him run for days without stopping. Incredible Feats spotlights mind-blowing achievements of everyone from world-class athletes and record breakers to scientists, architects, artists, and more. Search Incredible Feats and follow free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
5.
All right, let's jump back in with number 5 on our countdown of infamous Alcatraz inmates.
Starting off the second half of our list is the Birdman of Alcatraz, Robert Stroud. Stroud became known as the Birdman of Alcatraz because after being convicted of murder, he began to study ornithology during his 5+ decades in prison, most of which he spent in solitary confinement. Yikes. A book and a 1962 film was based on his story.
If the Birdman wasn't on this list, I was seriously going to question my deep, deep faith in the Parcast research gods.
Is that who you were waiting for?
Yeah, that was one person. It wasn't on my list, obviously, so I was like,
it's got to be on there.
He better be on that other side or I'm going to yell.
I bet you're disappointed now that you can't get them so far. He, the Birdman, was originally sentenced to 12 years in federal prison on McNeil Island for manslaughter in August of 1909. But after stabbing a fellow prisoner, he was transferred to Leavenworth Prison in Kansas, where he began to educate himself.
Instead of treating himself, he's educating himself.
Yeah. In March of 1916, he stabbed and killed a guard and was tried, convicted, and sentenced to hang.
So he didn't really educate himself.
No, not so much. Just on the birds, I guess. But on April 15th, 1920, President Woodrow Wilson commuted his sentence to life imprisonment in solitary confinement.
That sounds terrifying, but awesome.
It almost sounds like worse than death. Wait, you just say that sounds awesome?
You get to be alone.
In like with such your own a thoughts. Small space.
I know. I would not be awesome for more than like a few hours, but
I mean, I
I'm
guess,
just saying.
I guess he liked it because he got to study the diseases, the breeding, and the care of birds.
See?
And he did like a really good job on his research.
Good job.
He was like you.
Oh,
in
thanks.
The podcast research gods.
Heyo.
His research and writings were smuggled out of prison and published.
Jeez.
I know. I don't understand how, like, what a thing to smuggle out
That's
of prison.
Awesome.
His book, Stroud's Digest on the Diseases of Birds, was published in 1943. And it was an important work in the field of birds.
If I cared at all about birds, I would be like seriously impressed by this.
I hope I don't get crap for saying this, but I really don't like birds.
It's okay to not like birds.
They kind of scare me, to be honest.
They are a little scary.
Yeah.
Respect birds.
In 1942, Stroud was transferred to Alcatraz, where he was allowed to continue his research, but he was denied further right of publication.
What is research without publication?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Then in 1959, he was transferred to the Medical Care Center for Federal Prisoners at Springfield, Missouri, where he spent the last 4 years of his bird life.
Oh, and it was probably birdless.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not too.
Wow, you just brought that to a dark
Bring
place.
It way down.
Four.
Landing at number four this week is Boston Irish gangsta, James Whitey Bulger.
Wow, you really went for it.
Bulger's stay at Alcatraz began in 1959 after being transferred and lasted until 1962.
Your accent just made me so uncomfortable.
I had to do it.
That was a lot.
I had to do it. On June 21st, 1956, Bulger was sentenced to 20 years in federal prison for armed robbery and was sent to Atlanta to serve his time.
Okay.
That's not where Alcatraz is.
That is not at all where that is.
Well, there, he was subjected to extreme testing under a covert CIA mind control experiment.
Wait.
That was researching behavioral engineering of humans.
Did you know that?
Of course I did. It's Whitey.
I never knew anything about that.
You didn't? That's
no.
crazy. Look at that. That's... The podcast research god's teaching you stuff.
They teach me stuff every episode.
They do.
Let's be real.
We love you. Afterward, Bulger was transferred to Alcatraz on November 16th, 1959. There, he was friends with other inmates like Clarence Carnes and Mickey Cohen. You know, Mickey and Clarence.
You know, those guys.
We talked about
them.
Not
creepy.
But not creepy.
He was too creeped out.
He was too creeped out by creepy.
There's another dad joke for you.
It really was. He really enjoyed his time at Alcatraz.
Of course he did.
And he looked back with nostalgia.
He would.
He said it was the best view from any prison in the world.
I love that they like couldn't even get him on that.
And I also love that Whitey's like, of all the prisons I've been to, one had the best view.
He's had a scenic tour of prisons.
He's the only one that would see his time at a maximum security prison as nice and
he's
nostalgic.
Like, it was beautiful. The water every morning. I mean,
oh, Whitey.
Can't get any better.
In July 1962, Bulger was transferred out of Alcatraz and was fully released from prison in 1965 after serving 9 years in prison.
Do you think he was like kind of bummed that he didn't get to wake up in Alcatraz?
He probably was, like, to be honest.
The views.
Well, it didn't take long for Bulger to be back in the crime business and become a wanted man, eluding authorities for almost 16 years until June 2011. During his time on the run, he and his girlfriend went back to Alcatraz and visited. He even took pictures in mock prison outfits.
He loves it there. Nostalgia.
Whitey Bulger is believed to have died by being beaten with a padlock inside a sock by fellow inmates at Hazleton Prison in 2018.
I bet he was pissed to go out that way.
And I remember when they first saw that they thought they found him and his girlfriend, like they knew where the apartment was and all that.
It was like huge.
All over the news. That's Whitey.
Whoa.
Three.
Number three on our countdown of Alcatraz inmates is appropriately a trio. Frank Morris and brothers John and Clarence Anglin. They shared the spot because their escape from Alcatraz in June of 1962 made them collectively and equally famous. Dead or alive, the three men were never found.
Ooh,
spooky. No one had ever successfully escaped or survived an escape attempt from Alcatraz other than these three dudes.
Look at that distinction.
Infamy. December of 1961 is when the group began laying out plans for the escape. They're like, this is the blueprint.
Here it is.
They came across some old saw blades and like that's what inspired them.
Just stumbled upon them in a maximum security prison, huh?
It's like how those other guys, I forget their names, I suck, but they saw like the big pipe when they were walking in the yard,
yeah,
and they were like, we're gonna use that.
We're gonna go through that to get out of here.
You know, you gotta be resourceful in prison.
You do.
Well, they placed homemade dummy heads in their beds made of plaster, flesh tone paint, and real human hair that fooled the night guards who thought they were just chilling in their beds.
That's real gross, but I love how preteen that is.
It's very preteen.
So preteen.
Any preteen listening right now, if you wanna go to that party tonight, you better get you some flesh tone paint.
But don't do it.
And like take your hair out of your hairbrush, I guess.
Speaking from a parent perspective, don't do it.
Have fun.
Stay in your bed.
Do it. You won't. Well, they escaped through a ventilator grate with a plan to steal clothes and a car once they got to land. But no thefts were ever reported.
I think it's because they died.
Wow. Spoiler alert. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody knows.
Yeah, we don't know that.
Items like a rubber inner tube, paddle-like pieces of wood, and a packet of letters sealed in rubber and related to the men were found, but no men were found.
I think because they died.
Do you think they died?
I think they died.
Well, more than 50 raincoats they stole were made into life preservers and a rubber raft, and those were carefully pieced together using hot steam pipes in prison.
Jeez.
So again, resourceful.
That's like an old school erector set.
That's like a flea market flip.
It certainly is. They MacGyvered that.
I know, huh? Well, a letter sent to the San Francisco police, allegedly written by John Anglin, surfaced in 2013, and it claimed the three survived and they lived long lives post-escape.
Hmm.
The FBI examined the letter for fingerprints and DNA, but the results were inconclusive.
I'm just happy they got Whitey on here.
You know, Grandpa.
I'm happy they got Grandpa on here.
Papa Whitey.
Papa Whitey, you know. No, these are crazy. And I'm a little scared of how this is going to end.
I'm a little scared of how this is going to end, too. And I have number one.
Because these people, I'm like, okay, well, Alcatraz is no longer there. So are they just, like, either dead or let out?
Well, Alcatraz is, like, so haunted.
It really is. I want to go.
We gotta.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
We're down to the final two spots on our countdown of infamous Alcatraz inmates. Landing at number two is George Machine Gun Kelly.
I thought that was just a rapper.
It isn't. After Kelly was apprehended following the kidnapping of an oil tycoon, he was initially jailed at another prison. But after bragging about plans to escape, Kelly was transferred to Alcatraz in 1934.
That's just bad planning.
It really is, unless he wanted to go to Alcatraz.
Well, he wanted, like, Whitey to see the sights.
He certainly did.
You know?
Who doesn't love a view? George Machine Gun Kelly is probably considered one of the most famous gangsters from the Prohibition era.
Mm-hmm.
With a given name like Machine Gun, how can you not be?
You know, his given name. His mom looked down at his sweet little face and was like,
little baby Machine Gun.
Machine Gun Kelly will do. Write that down.
You look like a machine gun.
Oh, God.
His wife, Catherine, actually encouraged him towards a life of crime. She bought him a machine gun and gave him the nickname.
She's like, I bought this for you and I'm also going to call you the same thing.
Hello, I bought you a machine gun.
Machine gun.
Your name
gun.
Is Machine Gun now.
Like, I've rebranded wow. You.
Like, geez. I think I bought John on our wedding like a handkerchief. So I'd be like, Handkerchief White, that's
Let's
you
call
now.
Him Handkerchief from now on.
Handkerchief White, that's your gangster name. Catherine coming in hot with the desire to be a mob wife. Like, she was just like,
I was going to say that.
I'm going to make you a mobster.
She was like, there's going to be a show in some time and I'd like to be on it.
There's going to be a show far past my lifespan, but I want to be
talked about.
The originator. So Kelly's crime sprees would launch him to the prestigious status of public enemy number one.
Ooh,
not many people get that. Kelly and his wife kidnapped one of Oklahoma's wealthiest oil tycoons and held him for $200,000 ransom.
Okay, but like, don't you think that people are going to be looking for one of Oklahoma's wealthiest oil tycoons?
I feel like people might miss him.
Also, isn't tycoon a fun word to say?
It is, tycoon.
Ooh.
Wasn't there like a game way back when was like Roller Coaster Tycoon and you built your own roller coaster?
I think that might have been before my time.
All right, cool. I'm just old. Everybody else knows, okay? Everybody's going, yeah, I remember that game on your PC.
PC.
After getting their money, Kelly, his wife, and their accomplices were caught on the morning of September 26th. 1933.
Aw, man.
Back at Alcatraz, Kelly continued his braggadocious ways. He was talking about the robberies and the murders that he never even committed.
Oh, people hated him, I bet.
Of course, because he's the original Henry Lee Lucas.
Nobody likes a braggadocious.
Nobody likes it, but we do love that word.
We do.
His stay at Alcatraz was largely uneventful. He took a job as an altar boy in the prison chapel, worked in the laundry, held an administrative role. He did
blah, blah, blah stuff
you see in every prison movie. Like, basically, that was him.
He also learned how to cut hair.
Sure did. The warden claimed Kelly felt remorse for his crimes and that his wife, Catherine, and other accomplices were treated too harshly.
Meanwhile, Catherine was probably out there like buying a pistol for somebody and being like, now your name's Pistol. Got it?
Buying a steak knife for somebody. Your name's Steak Knife Jones.
Okay. That was a good one. And that brings us to number one on our countdown of the top 10 Alcatraz inmates. Al Capone.
There he is.
Hi.
Hey.
The notorious mob boss arrived at Alcatraz in 1934 to serve time for tax evasion. While there, his mind was deteriorating as a result of syphilis, and he was released early in 1939 on good behavior.
Not very mob bossy.
No, not very mob bossy at all. A little boring.
A little bit.
By 1929, Capone's empire was worth over $62 million.
That's a good amount.
A solid amount, some may say.
Solid amount.
A good retirement fund.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, it took nearly 5 years and an intensive undercover investigation to get Capone convicted. He had unfortunately contracted syphilis from sex workers, and he was too ashamed to seek out medical attention, and that's how he started spreading the disease.
Yeah, we don't want to hurt his pride.
No, of course not.
Of course not.
Let's not save other people's lives.
Yeah, let's just share it with everybody else.
It's Al Capone.
It's Al Capone.
Well, while in prison in Atlanta, he was given special privileges. He entertained constant visitors and used piles of cash to pay off prison guards.
Doesn't sound like prison.
No, it doesn't at all. It kind of just sounds like his life.
Yeah, just living.
I know. At Alcatraz, the warden refused to grant him those special privileges and also monitored him. He was like, I don't trust ya.
I love that.
Not giving you any extra TV time.
He was like, listen, Capone.
You're just like the rest of us.
Your vault's going to be open on TV and it's going to be a real disappointment.
Real big disappointment for you. I'm sure he was really stoked about that. I bet he was real pissed. Well, at this point, his syphilis may have been kind of messing with his brain and causing some of his erratic behavior.
You don't say.
He played banjo, which I feel like you don't picture Al Capone doing at all.
No.
In a band called the Rock Islanders, which he begged the warden to form. He was like, I have this idea.
Hear me out.
Yes, exactly.
That, I had no idea about him, and that is an enchanting fact about
him. Like, I don't know a banjo tune, but I wanted to say one. Is that a banjo tune?
Sure is.
Well, there it is.
I'm better for having known that fact.
You are. Al Capone actually wrote that little melody.
He did.
He also wrote a love song called Madonna Mia that was published posthumously in 2009.
Look at him.
Al Capone, that guy.
I gotta say, all I really wanted was, I knew Whitey was on there and I wanted to see Birdman. I didn't even think of Capone.
You know what's funny? There's like two rappers on this list, but like they're not the rappers.
You would know that.
Birdman and Machine Gun Kelly.
I did not know that, but I'm glad you did.
You're welcome.
The youngin', the youth. I do think that Capone was a very good number one.
Yeah, he had to be number one, yeah, for sure.
I felt like that was like, ah.
I'm also glad I learned that banjo fact.
I'm enchanted by it.
I'm gonna go listen to the Rock Islanders after this.
I want to.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another great episode.
Remember to follow Crime Countdown on Spotify to get brand new episodes delivered every week.
You can find all episodes of Crime Countdown and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Spotify has all your favorite music and podcasts all in one place. They are making it easier to listen to whatever you want to hear for free on your phone, computer, or smart speaker.
And if you can't get enough of these creepy crimes, check out our After Crime Countdown podcast playlist on Spotify, where we've handpicked even more episodes about this week's stories that we think you will enjoy.
And if you like this show, follow at Parcast on Facebook and Instagram and at Parcast Network on Twitter.
And if you like us, which I know you do, you should follow our other podcast, Morbid. You can follow us on Instagram at Morbid Podcast or on Twitter at Amorbid Podcast.
Keep it weird till next Monday.
Please do it. Crime Countdown was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler. Sound designed by Kevin McAlpine. Produced by John Cohen, Jonathan Ratliff, Maggie Admire, and Kristen Acevedo. Crime Countdown stars Ash Kelly and Elena Urquhart.
Hey, Parcasters! Don't forget to check out the brand new Spotify original from Parcast, Incredible Feats. Join host Dan Cummins as he explores true accounts of weird, wonderful, and all-out wild achievements. New episodes premiere daily, Monday through Friday. Search Incredible Feats and follow free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.